Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Welcome to the conversation. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Happy Discoverers, or is it Columbus Day?
Both. It can be both. And today on the show, we've got two faces of science.
That's right. Celebrating discovery, I guess you could say.
Celebrating discovery, or maybe asking us the question about how much more we need to discover, particularly locally, and as we're looking at another go-round with the GMO bill on the Big Island this week. At the top of Richard Ha's blog, there's a note. It says that he doesn't grow GMO crops and doesn't have any financial or affiliation to any large seed or other companies advocating the use of GMOs. He just wants to find the right direction for Big Island farming, he says, and to feed future generations. Now, in advance of this week's final hearing on the Big Island bill to ban future biotech, Richard Ha joins us by phone. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Beth Ann.
You have a number of issues with the bill, with 113, and it seems to start with the idea that farmers weren't part of this bill in any way, that it was being drafted by people who really didn't understand farming. Would that be correct?
That is fair, yeah, absolutely.
You also talk about the issue of fairness, that if, in fact, biotech were banned on the Big Island, obviously excluding papaya and seed corn, but if future biotech were banned, that it would somehow not be fair to farmers there when farmers on other islands would be able to use biotech.
Yes, that's correct. And whenever there's anything developed, and there are things developing to allow for global warming, diseases and pests and stuff like that. And if we cannot, and I'm looking into the future so much, and if we cannot respond, and others all over the world can, we will become less competitive.
Less competitive because we can't produce as much for the rest of the world, or less competitive because we can't produce enough here at a fair market value where we can buy it ourselves?
What will happen is our cost of production will not go down. Those who can use the new biotech developments, their cost of production will go down. And so we will be less competitive.
Right. But I'm asking competitive in the sense that we can't export enough to the world that makes it worth a farmer's while, or less competitive for someone here in Hawaii to be growing what we need for ourselves.
Oh, yes. I'm speaking only for production within the state and specifically on the Big Island.
So what happens in your mind if the banning takes place and you can't do any more GMO? Paint the scenario as you see it.
Well, you know, farmers always have to look into the future because it's such a competitive business and farmers are price takers. They're not price makers. So we always have to adjust and figure out where we need to be in the future. And those who look into the future and see that they cannot use new biotech developments will discourage their kids and grandkids from going into farming. And that is what I'm really worried about. And this will make us less food secure than more food secure.
As you're also looking into the future and you see how movements against biotech have been steadily growing and the many, many countries around the world who either ban GMO products outright or very severely regulate them, how do you make those two visions sync up? The world that's really conflicted about GMOs, in many cases not conflicted, just doesn't want them outright, and the fact that there are those who say that's the way we have to be able to feed ourselves.
Yeah, I understand that there are political movements to ban GMOs like in Europe and stuff, but if you look into all the the major scientific organizations, they are all for they say that biotech foods are safe as conventional foods. So, and we've served maybe 2 trillion meals or more since it was developed. And although I'm a farmer, I do enough research to make myself feel comfortable that what I'm saying is safe for Hawaii's people. And basically, Hawaii's people, the senior citizens have the longest lifespan in the nation right now.
All true. How do you then talk to people who say, well, you know, of course, companies that have a vested interest in biotech are going to say that it's safe, but how do you then reconcile that to countries, even Japan, where it took us such a long time, what, 7-8 years, to be able to have the papaya approved for import?
Yeah, and that's a good example. Papaya was approved, you know, so they Japan is very meticulous, and that is a good example of going through the science and deciding that it is safe.
But it certainly doesn't want our GM wheat.
Yeah, you know, there's countries that make decisions because they don't like. Now, this is my own interpretation of how I see this developing. There are countries that ban the GMOs because they have a competitive disadvantage to our wheat farmers and corn farmers. So it's a political decision and a business decision that they're making. But in those countries, their scientific organizations say that GMOs are safe. So there's two different things there.
Okay, so you're saying that the political pressure is far greater than the scientific evidence.
I would say that, yes.
Okay, so bringing it back to the Big Island, as the city council, as the county council is going to be looking at it this week, at this point, it seems that the tide is moving in the direction of not having GMOs. What happens if that occurs? What happens to the farms of folks that you know? Not you, because you're not growing any GMO crops, but what happens to them as you see it?
Well, you know, the ones that are growing GMO crops now, they are exempted. What we're basically looking at is what's going to be happening in the future.
Right, so that's the point. So right now, everybody who is growing a GMO crop is going to be exempted from it, but you're looking at whatever happens to new growth, and is there the ability to grow more if, in fact, they can't do it with GMO crops?
Yeah, you know, let's take tomatoes, for example. They're constantly breeding and exploring different characteristics. Let's say they develop a tomato that's resistant to the tomato spotted wilt virus, which is a real threat here on the Big Island. And they, by the way, they are looking into it right now. Let's say they develop it, and then they have it for sale to seed companies. I'm sorry, and people can just email and get a packet of seeds. How will we regulate that, for one thing? And will we then be criminalizing farmers who want to use it when everybody else can use it?
Which goes back to your fairness principle that we talked about a little earlier. Richard, we're going to have to leave it at this point. We'll be waiting and watching, as I'm sure you will too, to see what happens later this week with the Hawaii County Council. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Richard Ha is the owner of Hamakua Springs Country Farm and has been a farmer for 30 years. His 600 acres at Pepeakeo produces bananas, hydroponic tomatoes, Japanese cucumbers, lettuce, and watercress. And although none of them is a GMO crop, Mr. Ha says that he supports the defeat of the anti-GMO bill on the Big Island, up for its final hearing starting tomorrow.